breaking news that has to be talked about. Oh, it's going to be the best day ever. You can just smell a fantastic show coming sometimes.
Excellent.
And freaking fantastic is what that is. Why, hello there. That's a royal hello with an H. It's 1 minute and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of April in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your what have you, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, it's one of those that I could lie to you and say that I was fantastically well prepared, that the programming matrix, that the schedule, the rough overview, the syllabus by which we're going to be running today's program is prepared, but that would be an untruth. That would be a fabrication, a fib, a tall tale, a white lie, my friends. So I'm not going to... I respect you too much to do that. We had the same thing happen last Wednesday, Tuesday, something like that. I had a whole show in front of me, but it was just sort of scattered out in component parts. It's sort of like one of those popular mechanic or one of those Mr. Wizard projects. I've never really gotten a straight answer, by the way, whether Mr. Wizard is dead. Don't feel the need to correct me about it now. I'll look it up later. I'm just saying he would do these things where he would scatter out a whole bunch of, like a big pile of crap on a table somewhere. And then it would be him, and then he would have some girl built like a boy. And he would say, well, if you look at all the things on this table, you can make a rototiller. I'll give you half an hour to do it. And then he'd dot her off somewhere. And then Mr. Wizard, who looked exactly like Phil Hendry now that I think about it. Phil Hendry and Mr. Wizard looked exactly alike. Well, in any event, so then he'd come back in like half an hour and he'd see if what's-her-name, you know, Chandra, or whoever the girl was, had built a rototiller out of all the crap on the table. That's exactly what this program is like. It's like a rototiller built by a flat-chested girl on the Mr. Wizard show. Bam! All right, it's 503-733-2970. His real name was Don Herbert. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. The great and exciting and terrifying thing about this pile of stuff in front of me is that I could build any number of shows now out of it. Right, since I haven't put all of the items, all the things, the topics of discussion, the news bits, all of the comedic possibilities, because they're all just laying on the counter in front of me, I could assemble them in any order. The world is my oyster. It's a blank slate. A tabula rasa, if you will. I just had a whole bottle of Viso, like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And some coffee. I had some more coffee earlier this morning, too. And then I had some of the department head meeting, where I sat and fidgeted nervously in my seat. Felt really white. All right, 503-733-2970, if you want to engage with us telephonically today. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Making a note to myself. Here's what's coming up today. We'll talk to CNN correspondent Lisa Goddard from The Hill about something exciting. Well, maybe it has the word subpoena in it. I don't really know what it's about, but you got to figure that every time the word subpoena is used on the Hill, you got to figure this is sort of a general sphincter tightening that happens there. So that's good. We'll also talk, and I'm just going to ask her thoughts on this Dana Perino woman, who I believe at this point is the White House spokesperson because she's taken over for Tony Snow, who's off battling the cancer and so forth. Dana Perino, who is sort of hot in that way that I find a lot of women hot, where you can tell she's just a miserable person. Just a terrible, awful woman. As somebody said on a message board this morning, and yes, I am a colossal nerd and spent part of my morning reading comments on a message board about the White House spokeswoman. That's what I do with my time. You all might, you might do so. You might exercise if you're Sarah. You might evict people from meth labs if you're Tim. If you're Scotty, I think you just drink. But if you're me, you sit there and you read message board comments about White House spokespeople. Because I am a loser. Anyway, so I
knew you were going to repeat this charming anecdote for Lisa Goddard to sound a little more dreamy to her.
I'm polishing it right now.
I know
polishing
you are.
The anecdote.
I know you are.
Sprucing it up. I'm just saying, Dana Perino, who is the current White House spokesperson, hot but has no soul. And I don't mean has no soul like Michael Bolton has no soul. I mean has no soul like Al Pacino in Devil's Advocate has no soul. I, as somebody said on a message board this morning, I'm pretty sure that she could just sit there with a perfectly pleasant smile on her face, watching a tub full of kittens drown, while fixing herself a light lunch. I'm pretty sure that's how that she can do it. She just has just the blankest, just the deadest eyes when she was talking this morning, where she called Jon Stewart Don Stewart, by the way.
Huh.
She stole a joke. This is what Dana Perino, the White House spokesperson, did this morning. She, in the space of about 10 seconds, stole a joke from The Daily Show, which I didn't think they watched at the White House because it was a liberal propaganda outlet. I thought they were busy watching that Fox half-hour news hour. For which Rupert Murdoch just ordered a whole season of episodes, by the way. She stole a joke from The Daily Show, and then she tried to cover her tracks by mentioning that she stole it. She said, I stole that from Don Stewart. And it's just the deadest, coldest eyes. Only one way to get rid of that look. You know what I'm talking about. All right, what else do we have coming up? We have CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. He's going to talk about this. God damn, man, you want to talk about three kids who will never have to work again in their lives. These Duke lacrosse guys who, whatever, who may look like nitwit, pinhead, frat guys, and who may be, I don't know. certainly, it didn't have anything to do with whatever this alleged sexual assault on this stripper or whatever, this dancer. Well, I think the DA just dropped everything. I think he finally just said, well, I'm sorry, please leave. So that guy's going to get sued into oblivion. So we'll talk to, man, and you got to wonder if she's going to go to prison for that. It can just be like accusing some guys of gang raping you. And then at the end, just got to go, well, I guess it didn't really happen that way or at all. I don't know how that works. I guess we'll ask Steve about that. I don't know if there's some sort of a reciprocal thing where, if, like, you accuse somebody falsely of a crime and then it turns out you're just making crap up, that you just get whatever the sentence. That's what they ought to do, of course. Is whatever you accuse them, that's the sentence you ought to get if you're just pulling things out of your ass. Let's see. Jim Roop will join us later on today. Jim Roop, listen to this. This is a trifecta right here, a hat trick. Jim Roop's going to be talking about, Sarah loves to hear this, Sanjaya from American Idol. The great thing about Sanjaya is just saying it, I can hear Scotty's stomach tightening up in the other room. Sanjaya from American Idol, who I guess turned in what judges call, and I'm quoting now, a decent, quote, performance last night. Phil Spector, and of course, because it's Wednesday, we'll talk about Don Imus. For the final day, I swear to God that after today, I don't think we're ever going to. Lycus did a whole hour on it yesterday. Lycus was swearing he'd never talk about it. So, there you go. So we got that. What else? It's Wednesday, 1:30 today. We'll talk to our good friend Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. Find out who nudes up at the multiplex this weekend. What have we got? I've got this terrible Portland song I meant to get to yesterday. I didn't get to that yesterday, but I will today. We'll talk about Listener Party 10, which is now just 8 days away. 8 short days away next Thursday. I got to tell you that yesterday we spent a lot of time going through, and we went through a big, huge box of my crap that I bought in. For Listener Party 10. So we'll talk about that here in just a skosh. 503-733-2970. What else do we have coming up? This is what happens when I have no matrix in front of me. Well, other things, presumably. We have a Geek Watch, Darwin Watch, and a Religious Nutcase Watch. We'll get to those as well. Joined today's Are We Always by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon. Hi, how are you?
You're all wacky today.
I'm having to freestyle it. My notes
too
are all
askew. Too much caffeine and no direction.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that I don't have things to talk about. It's that I don't. They're not matrixized.
Well, no, I'm doing well. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I'm feeling all spacey.
Yeah,
you. And then I didn't ride my bike.
You look a little wild-eyed.
I am.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
That's okay. After, I didn't bicycle today either. I was going
to. Well, I was like, that's something new and different for you.
Yeah, I know. You're all stunned. I know, it's taking everybody by surprise.
I just couldn't do it because I couldn't fall asleep, and then it's just cooking later and later, so.
I just couldn't bring yourself to do it?
I could not do it, so. I got it right.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. How much sleep would you say you got?
4 hours.
Fantastic. Now, was it 4 restful hours? 4 fitful hours? for restless hours?
No. When I finally did fall asleep, I think I slept okay.
And what time was that?
But it just felt like I just blinked and then I was awake again.
Man, have you ever had that happen too? Mm-hmm. Here's a thing that has only ever happened to me once in my life. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And it was the most fascinating thing. I know that, like, your dreams are only fascinating to you. That's the thing we always say. This isn't a dream, though. So this may be interesting because I don't know if this ever happened to anybody else. This only ever happened to me once, and I would really love for this to happen again because it was such an interesting physiological phenomenon. I was about 10, 11, 12 years old, and I know that I didn't dream this because I was old enough to be able to make that distinction in my head that it was a real thing, not a dream. And we had bunk beds when I was a kid. Me and my brother, we had bunk beds. And for some reason, I was on the lower bunk. I don't know what the hell that was all about. Why did that even make any sense? Oh, you know what it is? It's that I was old enough that he had gotten his own room, and I just kept both bunk beds in my room. That's why. Okay. So I must have been about 13 or 12, maybe. I'm laying there in the lower bed, and I'm looking up. And it's, you know, whatever my bedtime was. I don't know, 9, 10, whenever it was I was going to bed at that point. I'm laying there. I pull the covers up. I look up. And, you know, of course, you're in the bottom bunk of a bunk bed. You can see the bottom of the bed bed above you. And so that's my last image. I look up, and I'm looking at the bottom of the bed above me. And I sort of close my eyes for a second as though to blink. Open them again. And it's morning. And it literally was like a blink. It wasn't like I closed my eyes like I was tired. Or like I was sort of like, I got to rest my eyes, or let me just collect my thoughts by shutting my eyes. I'm laying there, I close my eyes, open them again, fully expecting it to be a tenth of a second later, or whatever, however long it takes to blink. I open my, and it was dark in my room. I close my eyes, open them again. I'm in exactly the same position, looking at exactly the same spot on the bed, and it's like 7 in the morning. And I had no concept of any time having passed. I had no concept of any dreams. If you would ask me, like, if the lighting had been unchanged, and you would ask me how long I'd had my eyes shut for, I would have said an eighth of a second, however long it takes to blink. It's the weirdest thing. Only ever happened to me once. Hmm. Once in my life. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And it freaked me out for the whole day. It was like in a film when somebody just chops out a whole huge section or there's a gigantic reel missing in the middle of a movie. It was just like it leapt from, like, one point in the movie to all the way to the end. Like that. It was just the strangest thing. Never happened to me again.
They have the opposite, where I get a little bit of sleep, but then it seems like my dream's gone for hours and hours and hours.
See, I wish I could have that happen. It seems like it'd be more restful.
No, because it's bizarre. It's a weird time warp where you sleep for like 3 hours, but it feels, you know, in your dream like you're awake for 3 days.
I know people who smoke the pot a lot, and they say that that's the deal. Dan Savage talks about this, that it's like your time stretches out inside your head, and so a day is like a week. And he's like, he says, if I can't go on vacation, I get high. Because he said that it's just like it's like a vacation inside your head. So, anyway. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, working on the following stories for your edification today, Tim Riley.
A man loses a leg trying to swipe an ATM. Jaja Gabor is relieved her husband isn't the father of Anna Nicole's kid.
I'm
giving this my best shot.
It sounds as though you're really having to work to shape those words today, Tim.
Well, I had a stroke and I have to learn how to speak all over again. It's great being here in Times Square tonight. We have a wonderful show planned for you. Here's Ryan Seacrest to finish my...
That's just wrong.
I'm ashamed that I didn't think of that joke myself.
Am I suspended?
Now,
we do work for CBS.
Now I'm trying to think of famous stroke victims you can impersonate. Like Robert Guillaume.
No, Tim nailed it.
Or my uncle. Say, when I was in Nam, we'd know how to handle you. All right.
When I was in Nam, we knew how to handle it. I'm not done with my headlines yet.
No, don't care. Sorry, go ahead.
Remember that crazy astronaut woman? Well, a disc with bondage photos was found inside that crazy astronaut's car. And most importantly, a tiny monkey terrorizes the town of Otis.
Otis, Oregon?
That's correct, yes.
It's what?
Yes.
It's what? It's a
tiny monkey terrorizes the town of Otis.
So it's not incorrect, it's what?
Correct.
Oh, poor Tim.
Say this. Now, when did you make the dental appointment?
I made it long before my schedule changed. It required me to come in earlier.
Fantastic. Now, amazingly enough, your voice sounds a lot better than it did 10 minutes ago. At about, like, about 10 minutes before 11, I was like, hi, Jim, how are you?
I'm fine.
And I thought my hearing, and it was that thing where I was, I kind of shook my head a little bit like I had water in my ears. I said, what?
Uh-huh.
I said, huh? And this is supposed to wear off. And it was sort of an I'm a kind of voice. So is this just one half of your face?
Just one half, yes.
The other half is fine. Maybe you should only speak out of the other half. This is sort of interesting slash creepy. Are you getting a sense of what it's going to be like someday when you actually have a stroke?
I think I had one. I don't know at the dentist.
Maybe you did and they're trying to cover it up. No, it's medication. It'll wear off. Get him out of here. Put him in a van. Go dump him somewhere.
And then I walked 2 miles to the dentist office. I called you first.
True. But you sounded normal on the phone. I think on the phone maybe it was just
I was in an elevator.
I think on the phone, elevator.
I barely knew her.
That one actually works too. I think it was just the normal flawless Verizon service that I couldn't quite tell that you were mangled and garbled. Say this. Who else has had a famous stroke? Is there anybody more famous than Dick Clark?
No, he's the gold standard for strokes.
Best day ever. I love today.
But, you know, this is going to be worn off by noontime, so you better enjoy it now.
Well, maybe we should make it the 11 o'clock news now.
No, we could do the news right now. There's probably something happening that's exciting. Let me find something with a lot of vowel sounds. Hey, say this. Say, marriage.
Marriage.
That's okay. That's not quite working. That's not really working out the way I'd hoped. All right. 503-733-2.
He's a fleeting moment.
Barney Frank. You got kind of a Barney Frank thing just there. Or Giuliani, you could go the other way, too. If you talk about, like, terrorism, do we have to protect our country from terrorism?
Oh, I think he has the story.
Right. I'm sorry, there's my childlike giggle again. Oh, that's hilarious. 503-773. No, that's wrong. What is the phone number? 503-773? No.
Yes, that's it. 733.
733? What is their phone number?
503-733-2970. That sounds wrong for some reason.
That's instant karma. God's giving me a stroke right now.
Can you hear me do Rudy Giuliani?
Oh, more than anything. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Can we do a, let me just, I'll play this. Let's do an impromptu, And now, blah, 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 Tim Riley.
He seems sincerely sorry about it, and he seems like someone who will endeavor not to do that again, and I'll take him at his word.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
All right, now say this. Say, he seems sincerely sorry about it.
He seems sincerely sorry about it. I do sound like Barney Frank.
Wow, and that's not even a put-on. I mean, it sounds like you're pretending.
You totally do.
Man.
Oh, fantastic.
No, this is not pretend. You should have seen the bill. This is real.
You sound... It's like... Yeah, all you need is those big, flapping, turtly lips that he's got. Barney Frank. Oh, Rick, can Tim Brooke talk like Kirk Douglas, please? I don't even know what Kirk Douglas could say.
I don't know what he would say.
I am Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
All day? At the dentist? That's my that thing you do, joke. All right, 503-733-2970. That's fantastic. All right, I got a couple small bits of business to get done here at the top. All right, we are just, it's so tempting just to kick right into the news hour here, but I won't do that. I'm not that cruel. You know what? You know what would be really great is if there was something that I could get you that you had to scream really loudly, like a whole, this is Sparta! But just sort of a, this is Sparta! Thanks, Dick. I'm glad to be here in Times Square. What an honor.
Thanks, Ryan. I've never felt better being here. Welcome to New Year's Rocking Eve.
New Year's Rocking
Eve. My wife and I just bought our new Sealy Posturepedic mattress.
Oh, that's genius.
Time for rock, roll, and remember. The funny thing is, there doesn't even need to be any jokes there. It doesn't require any actual wit. It just these jokes just do themselves. It just requires you to speak. Oh, it's the lowest hanging comedic fruit there could possibly be. Boy, it's funny, though. Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. This comedy break only cost a few hundred dollars.
Well, I hope your bicuspids are whiter than white because of this. Oh, God, I hope you got something good out of it. All right. Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, what is it with dental appointments today? I have an appointment for a 4 p.m. cleaning today. Good luck with that. I'm British. And it seems, oh, man, that's got to be the worst. When you get over here, a dentist, and you get some Brit coming in. You
know, that's easy. They're missing half the teeth. You just need to schedule about 10 minutes.
Just in there with an axe and a power blaster. Oh, good God. Now Tim Riley can't give us the news in his best silky tones because he's going to sound like a gummy bear speaking as Barney Frank. Fantastic. It's going to be the best day ever. All right. All right. So we have Listener Party 10, which is coming up Thursday, April 19th. Next Thursday, April 19th. So I have now given the following items to Dave Zinn. Today I gave Zinn George the Skull. I gave Zinn the Mystery Noise Sounder. I gave Dave Zinn the Poo Phone. There's no other way to put it. I wish we had some other way to describe that phone. I have there was the phone that listener Ryan, he called up because his girlfriend had dropped the phone into the toilet. It had lodged into the toilet. He spent all day jamming things into the toilet, including a samurai sword, trying to get the phone out. He eventually took the toilet off the floor, brought it in, and we smashed it in the parking lot, and a phone covered in all manner of filth, yes, it came out. I now have a piece of the toilet and the phone, which have been thoroughly cleaned and sanitized. They've been sterilized.
Well, one very powerful Democrat wants big changes when it comes to those big CEO paychecks that David was alluding to. Barney Frank is the new incoming chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, promising to take a closer look at CEO pay. Congressman Frank joins me now from Capitol Hill. Welcome, Congressman. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks. Nice to be back with you.
What does it mean, sir, to look at CEO?
It's his excuse.
Oh, we're not going to look at it. I think we should let the owners of the companies decide what the CEO pay should be, and that's the shareholders. What you have is the clear evidence that the boards of directors simply aren't doing the job of representing the shareholders in this one area. And there's a reason for it. Boards of directors and CEOs really don't have the independence from each other in many cases.
You know, here's the thing about Barney Frank. I don't in any way dislike him as a person or politically. He seems like a very nice guy. He seems like a sharp guy. He and I agree in a great deal of things. But hearing that voice is just so off-putting because you don't even picture him having a real mouth. Like with teeth and lips, it's just sort of a gaping, sort of fleshy hole in the middle of his face. Like that pit of Sarlacc thing, but without teeth. In Return of in Jedi, you just picture him having some sort of a wet, spongy opening that he shoves food into, just like a Zoidberg kind of opening in the front of his face. No form to those lips at all. Isn't that right, Tim Riley?
That's correct. Yes.
Oh man,
I love today. All right. Listener Party 10 coming up next Thursday, April 19th. So Dave Zinn has the phone, he has the bit of the toilet, he has the skull, he has the mystery noise thing. I went through with Bridget and Susan yesterday upstairs. I went through a whole crate of stuff from my basement, just some of the most, and I didn't even show you the single most embarrassing photo. That's upstairs somewhere, Sarah. I'll have to find that.
Okay, and I need to go back to my other house at some point and get my bag full of crap.
I found, you know what I found? I found this, and this is an original. This is not a duplication. I found the Oregonian. I actually saved the newspaper from the promoting the fact that this show was coming to Portland. It was in, whatever, 1998, and it was a whole huge, who's that guy, Pete Schulberg, the guy that does the TV column, or did the TV column for the Oregonian? I don't know what he does now. I think he might be gone.
No, he works for the state doing something.
Does he now?
Yes, he does.
Anyway, but he wrote this whole column about Ted Danson's new sitcom, Becker, and then there was also literally like one sentence. Also, some guy named Rick Emerson debuts on KOTK in 1998. That's it. It was like a sentence and a half at the end of this huge Ted Danson article, noting that something called The Rick Emerson Show comes to Portland in, like, tomorrow. So that's it. So that's pretty cool, actually. It is actually pretty cool.
So we've got that. There's going to be stuff on display that you've heard about but never seen. There's going to be stuff on display that you've never even heard about. There's going to be all kinds of, all manner of things on display. That is Listener Party 10 coming up next Thursday, April 19th, featuring a cast of thousands. Myself, Tim Riley, Sarah X Dillon. It's going to be addictive now. Scotty J will be there. Our good friend Clyde Lewis will be there. A cast of thousands. People from the entire history of the program. A very, very special mystery guest who is flying in. We are flying in a very special mystery guest for next Thursday. We cannot reveal who it is. It's going to blow your minds, though. It's going to bake your noodle, as the Oracle would say.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be fantastic. Oh. A set of Hard Rock and Britney Spears covers by our good friends Hit Me Baby. A huge set at toward the end of the party by Emerson Starship. Fun, frivolity, madness, etc. So that's all coming up next Thursday. I'll do these calls, and then I don't have time to play these sound cuts, which is too bad. Somebody sent me a sound bite from a sound cut from NPR this morning, and I never thought I would say that. But we'll play that here in a few. Let me just get a couple of these. This is Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, I've got a nerd alert for you. Okay. You said Pit of Sarlacc from Jedi. It's Pit of Carcoon. That's where the Sarlacc lives. That concludes your nerd alert.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you. That's where the Sarlacc lives. Wait, this sounds like a song lyric somehow. No, 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 that's winning. All right. No, I got nothing. Okay, we'll break here just 1 second. Hi, sir. How can I help you?
Hi. I was just wanted to mention, in listening to those Barney Frank clips,
yeah,
it sounds as though if Mr. Frank were to spend a month in England, he would sound like Winnie the Pooh.
I could sort of say this, Tim. Say, oh, bother. Oh, bother. Man, that sounded really work. All right, thank you.
Still, Tim Riley is awesome.
Well, that's indisputable, my
thank
friend.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, thank you. Now we're getting other requests. Have Tim talk like John Merrick. I am not an animal. I am a man. Final call, then we break. What? Are you giving me the stink eye?
It's only 11:25. It's not going to be another day. It's only 11:28.
That's not true.
It is true.
Oh, it is 11:28. Yes. Oh, it is true. We're going to break now. Back after this, the Rick Emerson. Fantastic.
What are you laughing at over there?
Getting all these requests for Tim to say things in his stroke voice. But I'm not going to have Tim say suffer and succotash. I might have him say this, though. Here's a quote. Quote, and this is just Rick. Pleased to be having Tim say the following in his stroke voice. Suffer and succotash, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Here's one. Quote, the doctor says that I will be able to regain 67% of the use of the right side of my body. Sadly, I will need a trained monkey to bathe me for 6 weeks. Fantastic. I guess it's funnier when you read it. Also, while part of his face is still numb, he needs to record some promotional ads for Emerson History X. The cast of thousands line you read would be brilliant if read by a post-stroke Dick Clark voice. Genius. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733-2970. Like 60 seconds, we'll be welcomed by Lisa Goddard. This is Tony. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick, I got a Visa watch for you.
God bless you, sir. Where are we talking about?
Well, like almost every day I stop in the Chevron little mini mart, you know, and it's out in Gresham,
right.
unfortunately, but
yeah.
It's on the corner of Powell and Main, and I saw requesting Visa because I need it in the morning.
Excellent.
And because of me, they got it in there now. They got the the two energy ones.
The Vigor and the Will, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like this place. There's a place down the street from it, like about a block away, where they have this, it's like a teriyaki place they have. And I was asking her about it, and she finally started stocking it, too. So that's good, especially at some of those, like chain places, like 7-Elevens. They don't have it at every location. So God bless you, sir. Thank you, my friend.
And one more thing.
Yes.
My favorite thing to do with Visa is I put it in my bong, and that works out pretty good, too.
I'm sure the advertisers will be glad to hear that our audience is ambitious and forward-thinking about these things. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks.
Thank you. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent with a bong full of knowledge, Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
You know, my siblings definitely embraced the 70s, so there was some, there was perhaps a few bongs in my when I was being babysat.
That's I have this the clear memory, and I've told this story before. But I love my older sister. I'll say the preface by saying I love my older sister to death. Before she became a nutcase evangelical Christian, she was an even better person. But she's great. She taught me to read at a very young age. Taught me to be a free thinker, open minded. Taught me to be to be intellectually voracious and so forth. But I always wait. I know that she carries a little bit of a grudge to this day about the following incident, and I to this day carry a little bit of a sibling guilt about this, that when I was about 3 years old, maybe, I was old enough to remember it, but really too young to know what I was doing, so maybe two, 3 years old, would have made her around 13 or 14. We're sitting around the living room, me, my sister, my mom, my dad, just hanging out, doing whatever it is boring suburban families did in the 70s, and I'm sitting there. And she had like a purse. It was like a macrame kind of a purse, kind of a hippie trippy thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a little kid, and little kids rummage through crap and put stuff in their mouths and meddle with things. And so I'm sitting there rummaging through my sister's purse, and there used to be this hand lotion on the market called Rose Milk. And it was like this really, really trashy, like really bottom of the barrel, like D-Class A hand lotion that they sold in small little rube towns like mine. And she had a little Rose Milk container. And I must have thought it smelled good, or I must have thought it whatever. And so, you can see the ending coming to this mile away. I'm like 2 years old in the middle of the living room. I open it. My sister's got her weed in there. And I open it, and I start like spreading my sister's pot all over the living room floor. And I think I was on the way to sticking some in my mouth when my mom, and all I remember at that point is just a whole lot of shrieking and screaming and yelling and a lot of slamming of doors and a lot of like, "You're not my real father." And then and then she vanished for like 6 months. So, and she ended up running away from home, and it was like 6 months before anybody saw her. All of this triggered, wow. All of this triggered by just my idiot childlike behavior, rummaging through her purse and spilling out her narcotics. So I think we had similar siblings, maybe.
I busted my big brother Brett when I told my dad that I wanted one, a bubble blower like his.
Oh!
Yeah. I really, that's what Brett told me it was. I said, that's cool. I want one of those.
Fantastic. Can I have one of those soda things with the built-in straw, Dad? Brett's got one. It's fantastic. Excellent. All right. Well, hey, let's talk. Is it true? Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you suppose it's true that whenever the word subpoena is used on the Hill, I mean, don't you wish you could fit all of Capitol Hill with some sort of EKG or some sort of pulsometer just to see if there's like a general tightening of any area of the body or just an accelerated heart rate whenever the word subpoena comes out? Because
yes.
That's what's happening with this with Alberto Gonzalez now.
Yes. That's right. That's exactly what's happening. And, Congress doesn't use its subpoena power all that often. There's a lot of subpoena threats that happen. A lot of, we're going to threaten to use mm-hmm. our subpoenas, but they don't actually throw down the actual paperwork, the actual subpoena very often. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the next few months? Because there are a number of situations in which there are subpoena threats hanging over. Now, they are actually using the subpoena to try and get documents from the Justice Department, including the evaluation of every U.S. attorney that was working last fall when those 8 U.S. attorneys were fired. And a lot of these documents the Justice Department already handed over, but with the big black marker, or in most cases there were just chunks erased, big giant portions where there was no text, and clearly there was something that had been taken out. So Democrats say they've run out of patience, they were waiting for these documents, now they're not getting them. But here's where this gets really tricky. The Justice Department can reject that subpoena and say, we're not going to comply with that. We think that we are on solid ground saying they're personnel matters. We don't have to give this to you. And then it just gets even more messy. Then Congress has to essentially go through the court process, and it gets very messy. But they're saying they're willing to do it. So we'll see who calls whose bluff. But right now, I bet you nothing will happen until after next Tuesday. That's when Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is supposed to testify. So the Justice Department is trying to play as nice as possible until then.
It does seem like this is a thing that the Democrats are just not going to let go of. It's like they've just got it between their teeth like a dog with a femur, and they're just going to hold on to it. And so at a certain point, does it just become, I'm not suggesting that this should or will happen, but at a certain point, you reach this sort of event horizon where it just becomes better and more expeditious for the Bush administration just to kind of hustle the guy out the back door and be like, thanks for your service to the country, get out. And just to try to stop this in its tracks if it looks like it's going to get worse, right?
That's why people are still watching the Attorney General. He's clearly not quite safe yet. And whenever you hear a White House spokesperson talk about it, they say one of two things. They say, I refer that question to the Justice Department, or they'll say something like, you know, we have told the Attorney General to do this. You know, like, we basically putting all the responsibility on them and trying to stay as far away from it as possible, which isn't the greatest sign for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez.
That's actually an interesting question, and maybe you can't answer this right now. Maybe this is something you'd have to sort of think on. But what are... You know what we ought to do? We ought to, at some point, when there are slack news days, we, just like you do special assignments, like that thing you did about the deficit being sexy and the blah,
yes.
blah, blah, and the hey, hey.
Yes.
Really, I would be interested, you ought to suggest this to CNN. If you're looking to find ways to get yourself a little more FaceTime, as they say, or, you know, just figuratively speaking.
Right.
The little sort of special reports that are sort of interesting to political nerds like myself, such as... What are the ways to tell that someone is on the outs with the administration?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Because that's like when the administration, like when the White House spokesperson gets up there and says, the president has full faith, you know, has full faith and support in whoever, blah, 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 guy he's about to fire. You know, that was the thing with Rumsfeld, right? Like, right before Rumsfeld, it was blown out of there. Like, they were just stomping up and down about how much Bush loved him.
Right.
So there's you might think about it. I would be interested to hear at some point a rundown of how you can tell that someone is in disfavor with the administration.
There are definite verbal cues. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. But you know what I'm going to jump in? We've got a whole bunch of... Can I dump a whole bunch of news onto your show?
Absolutely. And then I've got one final follow-up question. Let's begin with you now. Go.
Okay, great. Here we go. Duke lacrosse charges dropped in their entirety.
Yes.
That's number one. And then many people probably already expected that. You know, the White House invited Democrats over to talk about Iraq. Democrats didn't really like the offer. Now Democrats inviting the White House to come to Capitol Hill. So very, very much whose turf are we meeting on kind of battle happening right now. And that also looks like the Pentagon is getting ready, probably in 15 minutes, to announce that any active duty soldiers, members of the Army who are in Iraq, will from henceforth have their tours of duty extended. They're supposed to be 12 months, but now the Pentagon's going to say from here on out, it'll be 15 months.
And then that just seems like an incremental march. I mean, I don't mean to sound paranoid, but that sounds like an incremental march toward your tour of duty being open-ended. I mean, it really does. Tell me if I'm crazy for thinking that. I mean, if you think that I'm a nutcase, but that does sound like eventually they're going to make that a whole, you are here at the pleasure of the president.
You know, I think that military families have got to be concerned about this and certainly disappointed to think that their members would be in Iraq longer. But, you know, the politics of it is that I don't think the president could do that. I think if they extended it much beyond this, there would be an uproar. I mean, there already are such serious questions about the readiness of the Army and, you know, whether the Army is really being broken over this, being stretched too far. And I think if they went much farther in these deployments, you would just hear a chorus of complaints about that I don't think they could resist.
I would like to think so, but the American people have never, they've never wavered in the capacity to disappoint me in almost every way. I mean, really, the vast swath of the great unwashed in this country have never lost their ability to do the wrong thing. So we'll see. At this point, it would just, this administration really has just, all partisanship aside, this administration has just been able to operate with such a blank check for so long that I think almost nothing would surprise me.
You can always hope that some of your Democrats over in the House will bring up the draft idea again.
Like Charlie Rangel. Real quickly, this I know the White House wants, you know, congressional leaders to come speak there, and the Congress wants the White House to come speak at Congress.
Right.
They got to know that the White House isn't going to go there, right? That's never going to happen. The White House is just going to sit on their asses and say that we're the White House. We don't go anywhere.
So I know you must be thinking about this. It did happen on West Wing, and the White House did win out.
It is true. Yeah. It is absolutely because as we all know, the White House is the single greatest home court advantage in the modern world.
That's exactly right. So yeah. I can't imagine the president actually coming up here, but, you know, who knows? This thing is a real stamp, but it does feel like, where are we having Thanksgiving dinner?
Totally.
Doesn't it?
Exactly. It really does. And it's a whole lot. Oh, your mother-in-law is such a crone. Do we have to go there again?
You're between the two mothers-in-law, and it's a nightmare.
Exactly. It is my final question, and then tomorrow, are you on tomorrow?
I am.
Okay, good. Tomorrow, believe it or not, I actually have a question about Rudy Giuliani and whether he is constitutionally barred from running for president for reasons that I will disclose to you tomorrow. That's a guarantee.
Wow, that's exciting. That's quite a tease.
My final question, though, is just about Dana Perino. Because you mentioned the White House spokesperson, and I was just making this observation earlier today about Dana Perino. Certainly, in a television sense, an aesthetically pleasing woman, probably an improvement over Ari Fleischer and Tony Snow, she does seem to be sort of the latest in a long line of that type of spokespeople that the White House just sort of shoves out there. So she seems sort of stamped out of the same mold in that she's sort of nice looking, but in this way that, like, you just get the sense, as I said earlier today, you get the sense that she could just watch a tub full of kittens drown and just not bat an eye.
No.
She just seems, I'm not saying she's a bad person, but I'm saying she just seems so, she's like B.B. Newirth on Cheers, like Lilith Crane. She just seems like so, like, clinical and just very, very efficient, but just very cold and methodical. I get the feeling she could shiv you in the mess hall at prison and just not even crack, you know, don't even change expression.
You know what's funny about that is by this White House standard, if you look at the folks who work in the White House, not just the spokespersons, that she is actually, I think, more laid back and funnier than way above average funny.
Wow.
And laid back for this White House. I think you're right. If you compare her to the rest of the population, I understand where you're coming from. But the funny thing is that this White House.
I suppose when Tony Snow is your benchmark for humor, you know, you don't really have a lot.
Right.
Not really. It's all kind of downhill from there. So, all right. Tomorrow, Rudy Giuliani. And thank you for dumping the boatload of news on us. We did. There really is no such thing as too much news on the show.
Bam, bam, bam. Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, Lisa Goddard.
You too, thanks.
All right, go. Thank you. That's Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic.
You guys are so cute when you politically geek out. And I space out and read celebrity blogs.
It's true, and your eyes just sort of glaze over, and you're over there tapping away at Perez Hilton. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Tim.
Hello, Tim, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Fantastic.
Oh, it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
503-733-2970. Let's see, what is my email doing here? Hold on a second. Let's see. Rick, I can sympathize with Tim. After a visit to the dentist, I went to work with a half-numb tongue and drool running down one side of my face. When I answered the phone, I sounded like a retarded deaf mute. Oh! You sounded like Nell. Jodie Foster movie. People would start speaking to me very loud and very slowly. It was a hoot. I should have said that my name was Corky. Good times. Hey, did you see that?
I was just watching my clip on last night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Kids of Whitney High live video that's going around?
No.
It's like them live in concert. Yeah, Joni said it three
times. Do you still have that song?
Which one? Like any one of the hundreds of Kids of Whitney High songs?
The Bug song?
Better Watch Out or the Insects Will Get
You.
Yeah, I got that somewhere. Yeah, I got it around here. I think, or do I? Let me look. I was actually just browsing through. I got this whole folder of bad songs right here. Let me see. Is this it? I think this might be the Kids of Whitney High. Hold on. I think this is it. I'm gonna get my Windows Media Player to. No, that's not it.
I love this stuff.
Well, who doesn't? Well, now it won't turn off. Stop. Oh, God. What if I've opened the seventh seal? I swear to God, I'm clicking the stop button and nothing's happening. I'm hitting the X. I'm hitting the stop button. I'm hitting the... No. Stop now.
Oh, now I think this should be your thinking music.
All right, now it's frozen my whole screen. All right, there we go. Instead of the popcorn, somebody sent me a whole the website of popcorn remixes. Oh, speaking of, just really quickly, before we break, let's see. Should I do this NPR? Okay, I'm going to do this NPR thing really quickly. Then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley and the Ministry of Truth. Let's see. I have this now from... Who sent this to me? This was sent to me by Richard. Richard sent this to me this morning. He said, Rick, this is from NPR. Let's see. This is Richard in Woodburn. I will probably miss your broadcast today with this feature, so enjoy. All right. This is from... was it Fresh Air? All Things... Melissa Block? Who was the host of... But who's Melissa Block?
She's not on Fresh Air. It's an other lady.
You're thinking of Jared Grove.
Yes, I am.
Is that Fresh Air? Okay, this is All Things Considered, I guess. I haven't listened to NPR as redundant, but I haven't listened to NPR as a listener. I've listened to it as a thing that is on in the car. If I get it, like if my wife has been using the car, and I turn on the radio, and it's, I turn on the radio, it's one of two things. It's a Modest Mouse CD or it's NPR. That's it. That's all. And in either circumstance, my whole thing is just to navigate away from whatever that sound is as fast as possible. The last time I really spent a lot of time listening to NPR as like a fan was, I mean, I'm not trying to knock it. I mean, in no way am I trying to knock those guys. I would be lying. I would be lying. It would be a fib. It would be disingenuous of me to say that we don't share a big, we have a lot of crossover with those guys. And talk radio people don't like to admit that. People who work in commercial radio don't like to admit that there's significant crossover with public radio. But what are you going to do? I'm not going to lie about it. I just don't typically listen to the radio at all because it's mostly bad. So if it's not this station, it's typically just off. Because really, what am I going to be listening to on the radio? I mean, come on. So, but when I had the... Anyway, long story. But it's been a long time. So they've changed their hosting a little bit. So this is All Things Considered, but this is Melissa. This guy sent me... This is why I love this audience, incidentally. This is the great thing about our audience. This guy... heard this morning, went all the way home, captured the sound, and made sure to sit down and email this to me so I could play it, even though he knew he wasn't going to be able to hear today's show. So I will play first. I'll just play the longer version, about a minute long. See if you can guess why this guy sent this to me. And then you will say to yourself, by God, what a fantastic audience. So this is from Richard.
The spring cold snap that's enveloped a good part of the country this week has been bad for peaches, apples, pecans, wheat, and we wondered, what about migrating birds?
What about migrating birds?
So we've asked our outdoor aficionado and bird lover, commentator Julie Zickafoos, to join us today. And Julie, has it been cold where you live in Whipple, Ohio?
Okay, I have to stop to point out a couple things, and then I swear to God we'll play it all the way through. She's talking to somebody named Julia Zickafoos, which is fantastic. And B, unless I'm just completely wrong about this, I'm pretty sure she actually just asked the woman, is it cold where you are? We'll play that again, but I'm entirely sure that's what she said. Let's see, this is the long version. Let's play this one more time here. This is, all right. So this is her talking to Julia Zickafoos, asking her if it is, quote, cold where you are.
The spring cold snap that's enveloped a good part of the country this week has been bad for peaches, apples, pecans, wheat, and we wondered, what about migrating birds? So we've asked our outdoor aficionado and bird lover, commentator Julie Zickafoos, to join us today. And Julie, has it been cold where you live in Whipple, Ohio?
It's been absolutely dreadful, Melissa. It has been in the 20s at night and only getting up into the 30s and low 40s during the day.
And for a bird watcher like you, does that make you worried?
It is torture. It is absolute torture. We had been enjoying a nice, slow building trickle of migrating warblers, things like blue-gray gnatcatchers, just got shut off just like a faucet when the temperatures plummeted because, of course, there's nothing to eat for these insectivores when it gets that cold.
You had an essay on the program last month where you talked about your favorite harbinger of spring, and that was the woodcock and the emphatic love song that it would sing. How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock who sang all night, every night, as long as there was a moon, stopped cold. My darling little woodcock.
Okay, I can't open my mouth that much to laugh.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
You know, the best thing about this, by the way...
God, we're so immature.
It's fantastic. The best thing about this is, of course, apart from the obvious, is how much she sounds like Annie Wilkes from Misery. She's a whole lot of Paul Sheldon. I'm your number one. Misery can't be dead. All right, we have to take it. That was a long build-up, I know, to a short, juvenile, pathetic bit of humor. But by God, I love this audience, and that's why. There you go. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show, the AM 970 hour around the corner. Don't go anywhere.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.